News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. It is Friday morning. It is Good Friday. Sunny right now. Mm-hmm. So that weather that's kind of got off the coast right now is going to stay off the coast, give us a sunny day today, but then kind of drift back, according to Dr. Bill, and that will make things kind of unsettled a little bit for the weekend. Not as bad as he thought it might be, but we'll have at least a chance of afternoon and evening showers Saturday and Sunday. So have a great weekend. A lot of you spent some money. It looks like I was looking at this poll on clothes. Mm-hmm. For Easter, and I think that's got to do with the photo ops after church on Sunday.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Easter bunny pictures, yeah. Of course. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think most of those come before Easter.
They do.
How many bunny pictures there are day of.
The day of, like, these, but by noon in the afternoon, Easter bunny is somewhere drunk.
Overworked.
He's been overworked.
He's on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, he's exactly. He's down at Perdido. happy Easter to you all.
Yeah, and it does sound like whatever you do outside, whether you're doing Easter egg hunt Sunday or something with the family, morning time will be the time to do that before noon.
Sunrise services,
yep,
of course.
You have those. So it looks like the storms on Sunday and the rain tomorrow all coming in the afternoon. So just keep your mind on that. But should be overall a nice weekend. And by the way, the weekend weather scale that Dr. Bill had for us last hour, the 1.7380, and Gary was the winner. You asked if he'd won before.
I did. I said, and you said, there's no records of that. And I said, well, why not? And so we need to, I'll just tell you this. When we got into the commercial break, it escalated, y'all. You didn't hear it, but it escalated. And anyway, so I was just saying we should keep records of that. And then Gary, ironically.
Yeah, well, he texted in. He said he is a multiple winner, but not just that. He won last Friday as well. So he's a defending champion.
So this is how quickly we just dismiss it from our brains, like whatever.
And he's building a dynasty.
He is.
Obviously. 2 weeks in a row. So congrats, Gary, on that.
Pretty good, though, really. That's like beating the field, like, you know, Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, for sure. So I mentioned it last hour as you were talking about another Ron DeSantis story.
Yeah, the abortion bill, right?
Yeah, signed the abortion bill at 15 weeks now in Florida is that line that makes it illegal. And he's been in the news so often, especially these last couple of months, but I think a majority of that is good news as far as conservatives are concerned. DeSantis seems to be kind of the voice right now of the conservative movement insofar as the former President Trump hasn't had the megaphone that he had for mm-hmm. so many years. And a big portion of that is because his voice on social media has been diminished. By the way, yesterday Trump said even if Elon Musk does buy Twitter and would allow former president back on, Trump said he's already left that popsicle stand and he's not coming back, basically, were his words. So DeSantis, and I'd love to hear your take on the text line or giving us a call, 251-343-0106. Do you feel that, at least in the meantime, DeSantis is kind of taking the conservative messaging lead as far as politicians go?
And the governor of Texas as well, because he's right in the middle of the, you know, he's got a built-in crisis at his border and a built-in talking point for sure. It's more than that. And obviously, he is putting his money where his mouth is by busing migrants up to Washington, D.C.
Yeah. But the difference there, I'm not sure many people are talking about Abbott's political future possibly becoming a federal role,
right,
like they are with DeSantis. It almost seems like he's destined to at some point run for the highest office, whether it's 2024 or not. But right now, that seems to be the biggest battle heading into 2024 among Republicans is who would you vote for? The former president, if he does run for election once again, which it sure appears like he will, or DeSantis, who right now is trying to win re-election for his governor's office. So there's a new Rasmussen poll, and we'll really break this down here in a minute. But overall, they said that a plurality of likely voters, think they polled 1,000 likely U.S. voters April 10th and 11th, put the margin of error at plus or minus 3%. And right now they have Trump ahead at 40% of the vote and DeSantis at 22%. and neither getting 15% of the vote. And then I think the rest were undecided. So you had Trump 40%, DeSantis 22%, 15% said neither of those candidates, and then whatever's left there, that's 37, 77, so about 23% that are undecided, more than actually DeSantis got in that polling.
That was actually, that's likely Republican voters, is that right?
What's interesting is they had, so I'm trying to figure this out, so broken down by party, they included Democrats in part of this, which is really strange for this voting, right? Because, I mean, Democrats would not be, unless voting, they switch teams.
Right.
They said broken down by party, 59% of Republicans pick Trump over DeSantis, 37% of independents pick Trump, 24% of Democrats pick Trump, they said here. But then you look at the DeSantis numbers and you have 23% Republicans going DeSantis, 21% independents going DeSantis, and then 20% Democrats. So the span between Trump and DeSantis among Democrats is only a 4-point percentage, but clearly that doesn't matter as much as when you look at the Republicans and the independents. And right now, with this polling, Republicans are way ahead on Trump. They still pick him to lead the party in 2024. And both have a major majority favorable opinion at 52% apiece among likely voters. We'll compare those to the Biden numbers here in just a minute. Among Republicans, Trump has a higher favorability rating than DeSantis, while Democrats view DeSantis more favorably than they do Trump. So Republicans view Trump, 83% in this poll said they have a favorable view of Trump, Republicans, and 9% unfavorable. That's
That's a very low statement.
Rating.
That's a statement right there.
For DeSantis, 76% of Republicans have a favorable view, 8% unfavorable. So he has fewer likes than Trump, but also fewer dislikes, which makes total sense from what we've seen these last 5 years.
It does.
Independents, 51%, they say, have a favorable view of Trump. That's huge. 36% unfavorable. And DeSantis, 46% of independents view him favorably, while 26% view him unfavorably. And then for Democrats, of course, the unfavorable number is very high on Trump at 60%, while 42% view DeSantis unfavorably. So they kind of polled, you know, Republicans, Democrats, and the unaffiliated. But I think the most interesting thing to me there is that you had 59% of Republicans polling for Trump and 23% for DeSantis. That is a much, much larger span than I would have guessed.
So I think if you were to poll South Alabama, say from Selma down, South Alabama, likely Republican voters, you would find DeSantis very favorable over our own Kay Ivey.
Oh, yeah.
Because we continually hear the comparison between the way DeSantis has governed Florida during the pandemic and the way that the governor of Alabama has done the same thing. And these contrasts are, you know, you can't miss them. And that if you listen to the ads by Tim James, so they're there. If you listen to political talk with people, just kind of people on the Jeff Poor Show or with Sean Sullivan, they're there as well. A lot of people, I guess, I will say this, in Mobile, Baldwin County, in this region, would rather have a Ron DeSantis type governor than a Kay Ivey type governor.
I think that's very fair to say. From everything, all the response I've seen from folks around here and on the text line,
That's another indicator. I apologize, but yeah, the text line, we see it every day
since the beginning of the pandemic. I mean, it's been like Pete and repeat. DeSantis has done one thing, and then it's not just Ivey. There have been a number of other Republican governors that have followed in DeSantis' footsteps, but Ivey almost, step for step in a lot of cases, following what DeSantis has done, and that even includes with the parents in school bill there, where what teachers are allowed to teach the children in young elementary age students. And remember DeSantis, I mean, he took all the heat. He did that first. The Florida legislature passed that ruling first, going K through 3. And then Ivey and the Alabama legislature, while maybe the timing was a bit different because of their sessions, followed up with that and did basically the same thing.
Yeah, but it's always the follow up or the mm-hmm. or the reply to. So I think it's fair to say that she doesn't have the original idea.
Yeah, and a lot of who would they be facing in the 2024 presidential election, whether it's DeSantis or Trump or someone else? Well, you'd think current president Joe Biden.
How about what Democrats are just running from Biden right now?
They are.
They're not asking for his help at all for their own elections and their own districts. They don't want that guy coming to their district.
Yeah, and when we get back, we've got some of those numbers from this week for Biden's favorability. And then I have some audio from a former Clinton campaign advisor.
Okay.
And what he has to say about Biden's current chances for 2024 and what that means for these upcoming midterms. It's kind of shocking to hear a tried and true Democrat with their thoughts on this.
Yeah, and you wonder too, Dalton, could it possibly be in 2024, like the Democrats don't invite Biden back? He doesn't get the nomination, even though he would be the would be the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to be older, first of all. You know, obviously, at this point, age is an issue. 4 years older, or at this point, 2 years older for Biden, is going to mean something to all of us,
of
right?
Of course, yeah.
But his popularity is really tanking, and his policies seem to be not favorable to nearly anyone.
And of course, Trump would be quite a bit older then as well. But if the Democrats do move on from Biden, would they go? Would Kamala be crowned? Would they try their best to have her elected to as the the representative of the Democrats heading into 2024's election, or maybe someone else?
Has there been a more politically unpopular vice president? Vice president usually flies under the radar, but you just heard a lot about people with Harris, and also some conflicts within her own
team
and administration too. So behind the scenes problems. 18 minutes after 8 o'clock, Dan and Dalton, your voice, 251-343-0106. We'll check that text line, and we would love to hear from you. Morning to Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 823. Anybody on the text line commenting on how I expertly introduced Alec Naiman last hour?
It's all anyone can talk about, really.
That was ridiculous.
What was his name again? Alec Naiman?
Alec Naiman.
You only said it a few times.
I know. Naiman's Catering.
Shirley, thanks for the reminder here. Shirley says, please don't forget, in addition to Christians celebrating Good Friday and Easter, sundown tonight, the beginning of the Jewish biblical celebration of Passover,
yes,
lasts for 8 days. She says, thank you. But I would say, no, thank you, Shirley.
Thank you, yes.
For the reminder there.
Sure.
Regarding the DeSantis-Trump poll numbers, Sam says, definitely DeSantis. He said, one of my oldest friends, who is for the most part liberal and lives in Jacksonville, is all about DeSantis. He said it's been a transformation for him, starting with the draconian ways of the Democrats' handling of COVID that have turned him. That really seemed to be the turning point in the DeSantis popularity.
I agree 100%, but isn't that a fascinating statement within the statement, talking about a friend who was, for the most part, liberal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's a set of values that is nothing like what DeSantis represents, but I guess he appreciates the fact that he kept things pretty much wide open.
Yeah, and you're seeing that among some more moderate liberals kind of turning towards the right,
yeah,
and even a lot of independents, especially when you look at these new Biden numbers that are out there.
Well, moderate Democrats are not fans of crime. And you just look at the stories, look at the stats. Crime is not just the numbers are not just astounding, but the fear is up because you're starting to get the impression now crime can happen anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's a major part of Biden's poll numbers. Also, of course, inflation. You look at the immigration problem, Afghanistan's withdrawal, and then what's happening in Ukraine. And he's seeing some really, really low numbers. We can get into those in just a second.
Sure.
First, you have on Fox yesterday, Fox News, a former Clinton advisor and now pollster, Mark Penn. So, he may have some reasons that he's about to say what he says, but here's what he had to say about the Biden poll numbers. Take a listen.
These are spectacularly low numbers. To really get down to only a third being favorable and in the 20s on independence, of course, makes re-election a virtual impossibility. the administration has got to pivot, or this is going to be a tornado of the midterms if these numbers continue to hold up. And frankly, they've had month after month here to do something to turn around on inflation, on immigration, on Ukraine, on crime, and they just haven't done it. They've done small, little incremental changes. They need big changes to change some big numbers.
So he's giving Biden, what were the words he said, makes Biden's reelection a virtual impossibility. Now, whether he's angling to get Hillary Clinton back in the mix, which I think a lot of conservatives would welcome, frankly, but pretty shocking statement there from a Democrat.
Yeah, I would agree, but you another good point by you. You have to measure in the political angle on this. What is he angling toward? What's his end game for the Democratic nominee, right?
Yeah.
So the Quinnipiac poll has got Biden at 35% job approval right now. Also, the numbers are really, his approval numbers with Hispanics is dropping. Mm. And I think that, Democrats might want to be careful just assuming that they're going to get a lot of those votes. I don't think that's the case anymore at all, whether it was or not. But Hispanics are not necessarily just going to be in the Democratic file, you think?
Right. And, you know, of course, there's a wide range of Hispanics.
Sure. Right.
And but, yeah.
There's a lot of Hispanic business owners, a lot of Hispanic small business owners who think this is a disaster right now.
Well, also a lot of legal immigrants that did it the right way.
Yeah.
And they might not necessarily blame other immigrants for crossing the border, but it really comes down to the administration and their policies for letting so many just flow right over the border.
Among registered voters, 35% approve of Biden's job performance. 35%, 55% disapprove, 10% not paying attention, I guess. They don't have any opinion. According to the data, only 12% of Hispanic responders approve strongly of Biden's performance. But really, Hispanic or not, how could you approve strongly of what Joe Biden's done so far? You would have to really be out to lunch, or just a shill for you're not going to vote against the Democrat one way or the other.
Well, I mean, you could make the argument that he's doing the best with a bad situation, which I think you kind of you alluded to yesterday that a lot of people feel that way. But then you're arguing against some hypothetical, right? Like what would things look like if blank were in office?
Yeah,
and I guess in this case, the other would be Trump. He was the other option back in 2020.
Yeah, the point I was making yesterday was simply that a lot of things that people are disapproving about are also cross every border. They're international issues. Everybody's got inflation right now. Everybody's paying more for gas. And your point was, yeah, but his policies aren't making it any better.
And you look at who's likely to approve of what the Biden administration has done to this point, and it's clearly those that are further left than most moderate Democrats, way further left, because these policies have been aimed almost directly at them. With a lot of the things that the Biden administration has done.
Which has been so bizarre. There's so many people in the middle that he could have satisfied by having policies that were a little more moderate, and he simply, correct me if I'm wrong, call or text 251-343-0106, he simply hasn't done that.
Yeah, we've got some great texts here, and we'll read them coming up, including Daniel, who said he'd be surprised if Governor Kay Ivey were to win re-election. We'll get into that here.
How about that? 830 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton. Good morning. News straight ahead.
On FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for listening to Mobile Mornings on this Good Friday. Hope you're having a blessed one out there. It's a beautiful day already. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Tommy Davis. Hey, Tommy.
Good morning. Happy Easter weekend and Good Friday to everybody.
Hey, same to you and yours. And yeah, while we're talking about that, what are the hours looking like at McConnell for tonight, tomorrow, and Easter?
Well, we'll be here till 6 tonight. 4 to 5 tomorrow, depending on the activity. We're closed in observance of Easter Sunday. And we've got a lot of things going on here. We've got a lot of new inventory arriving daily, and used cars arriving multiple times a day. We've got 16 Infiniti QX80, a 21 Volvo XC40, a 21 Mercedes C-Class, a 21 GMC Sierra 1500 AT4, and the list goes on and on and on.
Louie knows. I've told him many a time, but I'm a big fan of those AT4s. Those things are so hot, and it's
they good. Are very hot, and they sell very well. And if you don't like yours anymore, I'll be happy to buy it.
You'll
buy anything here at McConnell Automotive.
Yeah, tell folks how they can do that. If they want to sell you their vehicle, how do they do so?
Just come in and see myself or Gene Stuckey. We'll look at your car, and we'll pay you right there.
That's awesome.
Right on the spot.
Hey, we appreciate it, Tommy, and have a great Easter weekend.
Thank you, and you too.
That's Tommy Davis, the newest name at McConnell Automotive. Although he's been around Mobile for a while, so you probably know him already. But you'll find him at McConnell on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Brooks Conco with the Mobile Rundown, not able to make it with us today, but that's okay. We'll look over the rundown, just make sure we have an idea that we don't miss anything big. But it being Easter weekend, I think a lot of the events won't be an event-filled weekend, though a couple of things we'll make mention of.
Probably not. Yeah, like having a Comic-Con on Sunday probably wouldn't,
not a good idea.
Wouldn't be the best time to do
not
something like
idea.
That. Plenty of texts here as we've kind of, with midterms on the horizon and then, of course, 2024 that follows. We've spent a lot of this talking about Trump v. DeSantis, possibly for the 2024 Republican primary. But also, we've discussed Governor Kay Ivey here. And Daniel said, average guy here, I'd prefer not to have another Ivey or Trump term. I will be surprised if Ivey wins this next election. That is a, Daniel, that's a heck of a hot take. I know a lot of people are right there with you saying they'd rather not have an Ivey term, but it would be very surprising at this point if Ivey did not win the election. I think it would take something pretty major.
There's only so much time left for some sort of a bombshell to happen. And what is Kay Ivey? Where is the... How could she possibly? She goes to bed at 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So it's not like she's going to be scandalized in any way.
Saying not many skeletons likely to be found in the closet in the next couple
months. Good luck with that.
Yeah, and but we've seen crazier things happen, right? I mean, polls have been wrong before, and it's not like there's been millions and millions and millions of dollars poured into polling for the gubernatorial race. I know there's been plenty of polling done. But like I think it was Ray Melick yesterday with 1819 News on with Sean on Midday Mobile. If Ivy somehow does not win in the primary and it goes to runoff.
Now you got a problem.
Yeah. If she gets into a runoff with Tim James, mm-hmm. Dean Odle, Lindy Blanchard, which I think that last would be – if we ended with a Ivy-Lindy runoff, that would be like even more surprising.
Mm-hmm.
But there's anything could happen, I guess.
Who do you think in that field is the one that would more than likely, if there was a runoff, because my money I think would be on Tim James, the guy that makes it there. But for instance, well, I will say this: he's a veteran politician. He's the son of a politician,
son of a former governor. Yeah.
Right. So he ran for governor in 2010. He's very defined on what his message is.
Mm-hmm.
His message is the nation's going to hell and Alabama's going to lead them out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
So anyway, that's my two cents.
And right. He has the name recognition. So if we're talking about competitors to Ivy, I would certainly say he's in the lead, and then Odle and Lindy. But it would be very surprising, I think, if Ivy weren't to win going away. And someone else points out here, where was it, so this person says, unnamed texter says, Ivy is busy signing some good new laws just in time for the polls. I just can't get past Meemaw spanking Mobile and Baldwin counties when she shut down the plans for the new bridge. And that's a specific weakness for her in South Alabama,
right?
Definitely. And I think that's why if you polled the state in South Alabama, she does much worse than she does the rest of the state. Because, I mean, look, Birmingham, Huntsville, they've gotten a lot of those deals from the state that I think many people want for the bridge down here. But it's the way she did it, right? She almost, you said it, this texter said it perfectly, can't get past her spanking Mobile and Baldwin counties. It was almost like she asked us to go out into the backyard and get a switch and bring it back to her just for dare going against what she and Aldott had planned.
Yeah,
that's exactly how it felt. But also the gas tax. A lot of people are hung up on that from a few years back, that being passed under KIV. And
when it was passed, gas was less than $2 a gallon, maybe, or
so
right
let's
around
see.
Because I know when it bottomed out, it was less than $2 a gallon.
Yeah, and that was in 2020. I think it bottomed out. So you're looking at another 2 years prior, just about. I can't recall. I guess we could look at Gas Buddy and figure it out. But yeah, much lower than it is right now. Still, adding a tax to a use tax to something like fuel, you're going to hit everybody in Alabama that's driving around, and
exactly.
A lot of people did not like that. IG Jesus, I see DeSantis as a sane conservative versus many of the others, not to mention names. All right.
You say the sane conservative?
Sane, okay. Right. Yeah. And that seems to be his appeal right now. Is he's almost like, in my opinion, you get a lot of what people liked about Trump and mm-hmm. like about Trump, but you have the age difference there. DeSantis is quite a bit younger. And he seems to be able to stay on message more, even though he's able to lob those fireballs at the competition.
He seems very genuine. When he is speaking on something and he is angry about it, you hear anger in his voice. That's something to a lot of people. It's appealing because you're like, okay, this is what the guy really thinks.
Yeah.
This is how he feels. The policy is not just being put into place, or the bill is not being signed specifically for political reasons, though it may benefit him politically in the eyes of conservatives. This is what the guy feels and thinks. I think he conveys it very well, very naturally.
And, you know, Trump had that sixth sense that a lot of politicians don't have, but that entertainers do from all of his years as, of course, he's the businessman, but also you can't get past what he's done on the literal stage, you know, and he had that ability to connect with Americans in a way that politicians somehow weren't able to channel.
Remember the first debates, and it was like a shock to everybody's system. Like, this guy is really a bull in a china shop. Well, what you didn't realize was he was really connecting with a lot of Americans while he was taking down those mm-hmm. Republicans. Who was some of the Republicans? I mean, he had a nickname for every one of his opponents on stage.
Jeb probably caught the worst of it.
He caught the worst
Jeb
of it because
Bush.
He seemed to not be able to defend himself. So it looked bad because he didn't punch back, but he almost seemed traumatized, mm-hmm. too traumatized to punch back. So it was embarrassing.
And he went after, of course, Ted Cruz, mm-hmm. who was already a firebrand within the conservative party.
Right.
Many people felt that he was about as extreme as you could get as conservatives go. And Trump came in and blasted him from the start. But I mentioned Trump's sixth sense. It's almost like DeSantis, in a way, has that also with, you know, politically. Like, just when he had that presser a couple months ago at the college, and there were students behind him. Actually, it was a high school, I think. And students were behind him wearing masks. You know, he didn't have to stop and say, mm-hmm. take those masks off. And it caused, you know, a lot of liberal media to go after him for that, saying he was being mean to him. But he knew exactly what he was doing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because it was on camera.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Dalton. It seemed like he's the governor of the state, and he's saying, hey, enough of the funny business. Take mm-hmm. the mask off. I get it. I see what you're doing. It was almost like he was offended that they didn't understand what authority he had. And a little respect here.
Right.
That's basically what it was. And that, again, just comes across very natural, like a football coach, like somebody telling you, hey, here's the score, buddy. Okay, get with it. You know, you got the mask on. You're trying to make a statement here. Take it off.
Yeah, and I think he knew how that would land. Like, I don't know if he would necessarily have done that if they were in an empty room and no cameras. Maybe he would have.
Maybe he would have.
That's,
and it landed differently for different people. Yeah, he got a lot of grief from mainstream or left leaning mm-hmm. media within Republicans within his own state and conservatives around the country. He was applauded for it.
Texter here. We're getting a bunch of texts. Really appreciate these. And a reminder, you can also call 251-343-0106 and voicemail function on the app, FM Talk 106.5 app. This unnamed texter, everything KIV is campaigning on, she opposed originally. That shows she is a flip-flopper. I'd like to hear specifically how she's gone exactly against what she originally campaigned on. Not to say that you're wrong. I'd love to see exactly what that was. I mean, obviously, she's been throwing the red meat out there going into these primaries. We've talked about that quite a bit on the station.
No doubt.
And when everyone says, you know, don't go for the lowest hanging fruit, or they get on to politicians, it's it's the lowest hanging fruit for a reason.
Yeah.
Right. It works.
Do you want to win?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Let's see. Steve, good morning, gentlemen. Trump should not run. America has had enough. Like it or not, Trump doesn't bring people together. Ron DeSantis is 10 times more effective. Effectiveness. I think that's a fantastic word there, Steve. Daniel, and we've got kind of two conversations going concurrently here, one between Trump and DeSantis and then one with Ivy's reelection odds. Daniel says those are two big points. Also, how she handled COVID wasn't popular. It's a great point. Damn Yankee says Meemaw K has done a great job stepping into the office after the Bentley disaster, but Alabama needs some fresh blood. Sean says Trump was an anomaly. The deep state will never let that happen again. Some milquetoast Republican will be chosen to run. I hope DeSantis stays in Florida. He's more effective there. A lot of people have been saying that maybe he needs to stay as the governor, because even though he's the governor of the one state, would a lot of other conservative states be passing some of the legislation they've passed if DeSantis and Florida kind of hadn't, forged ahead? That's a big question there.
Yeah, I agree. He's kind of done a little bit about what Tim James is campaigning on. His state is kind of leading, and it's a very, very populous state, it's kind of a big state. If you look at the population of it, certainly it's among the biggest in the United States. And his policies and the signing of the bills that he's done are what Tim James is talking about. Is like, hey, we're going to hell, and Alabama will lead us out of it. Well, I think Florida, for conservatives, is doing that right now.
And you have a lot of people that have moved from some of these other states into Florida, and whether they're upset with the COVID response or crime in their cities, they're moving to Florida and probably going DeSantis's way, having seen what they've seen in some of these other liberal states. A couple more here. Sam says the thing about DeSantis telling the kids to take the mask off is he told them if they would like to keep them on, they can, which is hugely key. And that's exactly what I'm talking about with the kind of sixth political sense there with the cameras. And another talking about Ivy, they said with her closing businesses and not supporting Trump, said unvaccinated were the problem. Okay, these are the things you said that she's doing that ran against what she said originally. And last one here, Terry says, I'm waiting for Ivy to show up in a blue suit, red tie, and blonde bad hair wig. So doing the just coming out and looking exactly like Trump for, I guess that's what the reference is there.
Okay, well,
Terry, you might have to expound on that. I'm a little slow this morning.
We'll have to wait on trick-or-treats next October and see if she goes as Donald Trump. 849 FM Talk 106.5. You know, you can call us if you like, 251-343-0106, but we'll get plenty of texts. Also, I got a text on my phone from Jeff Poore about his lineup for his show today. We'll let you know what that is. Straight ahead on Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. About to wrap this thing up and turn it over to Jeff Poore, who's got U.S. Senate candidate Carla DePriest about 9:35. Also, News Talk 95.1 up in Montgomery, April Marie Fogel. She's on at 10:35. Yellowhammer News, Dylan Smith, a little after 11, and State Senator Chris Elliott from Daphne is at 11:35 today on the Jeff Poore Show.
Yeah, I guess we'll see if State Senator Elliott will be at the Casa de Poore today. There's talk of him maybe joining Jeff in the Fairhope Studios.
More and more coming through, huh?
Have you been invited?
It's like, you know, halfway through the interviews, people are like, hey, can I use your bathroom? So that's the difference there. But Jeff Poore's got that in-home studio, and I'm just cranking it up, having the big guests come right in.
I've yet to be invited. I had to pose as a air conditioner handyman just to get into his house.
Like you, he cleared trees off the land. He had that conversation with Mo Brooks yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's always fun, clearing the trees.
Yeah.
Good stuff there. Text line. This is, haven't heard this one before. They said, will Ted Cruz run again? I would definitely vote for him. That's a name that's not coming up a whole lot when you talk about the 2024 prospects for...
What do you think?
With Ted Cruz? Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think that Trump boxed him up just about good enough in 2020 that I would have a hard time believing that he does a lot of conservative things, but he has some things he's done in his role as senator, like the trip to, where was it? Was he going to Mexico during the
ice storm?
Ice storm that shut a lot of things down. Not to say that any politician's perfect, but I think there may be a little too much red meat out there on Ted Cruz for opponents. Mm-hmm. Aussie Girl says, I moved from Daytona Beach to Mobile. Would like to see Trump get back in and fix this ship and turn it up right. DeSantis can be governor for Florida for 4 more years and then go for president after Trump. We get Lindy in for governor. She's a sharp lady, and I'd like to see the tax on gas and groceries disappear.
That's what she's talking about in her ads, for sure.
That's one thing I mentioned, going into the 2020 election, that if there were a time, if you're conservative, and if there were a time where you maybe didn't want a conservative in office, it would be this term that Biden's in now, because the chickens were going to come home to roost at some point for all the spending during the first year of COVID there. And let's not act like the Trump administration wasn't spending like crazy before the pandemic. I think they added another $3 trillion to the national debt before then. So that's something that they would need to probably address going into this next one.
It speaks to his popularity. The conservatives kind of turned a blind eye to that, or many did anyway.
Yeah, they sure did. And then Terry, referencing his Ivy thing, showing up in a wig and everything, his favorite election game show, Quién Es Más Trumpy, which we're seeing now, heading into the primaries, as a lot of these candidates who've barely mentioned Trump for the longest time, now talking about him a lot, now that we're a month and a half, or a month and a couple weeks away from the primaries here. Remember when we were talking about, just to change subject here a little bit, I want to let you in on a conspiracy theory that's out there regarding Tom Brady and how he retired at the end of last season and then came back like 2 months later. You had this guy who bought his final touchdown ball at an auction for $518,000.
Yeah.
And literally the next day, Brady unretired.
Yes.
So they worked that off and canceled the sale. The seller was apparently kind enough to do that. So now it's just Brady's 624th touchdown pass, and he threw several more last year. Did you hear the whole theory about Tom Brady and his plans for his retirement? That
I heard one, but it might not be what you've got.
That he was possibly going to go to Miami.
Yeah, this is what I heard.
And then take over as, I guess, the GM or some kind of decision maker down there and really run things. And that it was actually the lawsuit after the firing of Brian Flores that kind of put a stain on that franchise and maybe caused Brady to back out. This is all conspiracy theory. Back out and play another season at Tampa.
Sean Payton was involved in that, too. Sean Payton was going to go down there as the coach.
That was it, yeah. And the other leg to that conspiracy theory, that Bill Belichick heard about all this and planted that seed in Brian Flores' mind that caused the lawsuit against the NFL.
Now it's getting a little thick. I did think it was curious that Flores, you got one of the greatest quarterback ever, retires, and Flores bumped the story by bringing his lawsuit that day. Jeff Ford's on the way next.